Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
UFC Unfiltered today, bittersweet. We have Ray Longo in studio, which is terrific. We have Jared Cannon here on the phone. We have Kevin Lee on the phone. And we also have Neil Magny on the phone talking about what happened. But unfortunately, it's Chris, the producer's last episode with us.
Did you say we have Ray Longo in studio?
I did. That was the bittersweet part. We're happy we have Ray. And
we are happy we got Longo in studio?
Yeah.
I'm upset about Chris, though.
Yep.
It's a hell of a show, though.
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again!
He's out!
This is UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Very, kind of a bittersweet episode.
Yes.
As today is our last day with Chris, the producer.
Oh, man.
But I mean, onward and upward. We have Neil Magny. Sorry.
Is that what? That's all he gets?
Was there more tribute due?
All right, well, listen, it's going to be a nice long episode. We'll talk about it at least once more before we end.
Listen.
Not only,
but no, you do do
it
a really, really adequate job as a producer. But again, these things must end sometimes. Coming up, we have Neil Magny.
Yeah. I'm going to get Neil on the phone, actually. Thank you.
Kevin Lee, and who else?
Jared Cannonier.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we hate to be losing Chris. We really do.
Yeah, but know who we're gaining?
Ray Longo.
Today? The great Ray. Well, I was going to lead. Did you just say Ray Longo like nothing? I was going to lead up and give him a nice proper.
Oh, I just
like I was going to do like I was going to go. And then also we have. But, I mean, it's all useless.
Do you know why I didn't do that? Because we're getting Neil Magny on the phone. Oh, I was afraid he'd come on while you were doing the intro, and then Ray wouldn't get the proper intro.
Well, listen, Jimmy. It's like you telling me how to fucking fight in a cage, Jimmy. Like, I shouldn't even open my mouth.
I would say how to fight in a cage. I would say, come on, hit him. I wouldn't give her a good direction.
That's what I say.
That's what you can say.
A lot of times, I know what I do? I just repeat what Longo's saying. Yeah. Unless it hits the floor, and then I say, Longo, don't even. No, Longo goes, Matt, talk to him.
Hey, Neil, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
Good. You're talking to Jim Norton and the great Matt Serra and Ray Longo. How you doing, buddy?
We lost him.
Hello?
Neil?
I think he heard, heard who he was talking to and he just left.
Did we, shut the door.
We got you, right? Okay, you're here.
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, so a shame that you're out of the main event. Or the co-main, sorry. Can you talk about what happened? Because people thought you might have been hurt.
Yeah, so initially I received an email on Saturday stating that there was a potential violation from USADA from a test I provided to him early May. Initially I was like, dude, there's no way that I had a violation. So I spoke with Jeff Nowitzki from the UFC. He told me that there was a violation there. Looking at the numbers, they're so low. There's nothing that indicates cheating or anything like that. At this point, we're going to still try to carry on business as usual and try to get your license and just keep moving forward. So we fast forward to Monday. Monday rolls around. USADA disclosed information to the New York State Athletic Commission. The commission would not license me based off their findings. And then ultimately, I had to be pulled from the fight because of that.
So let me ask you, how do you find out? It's a phone call, it's an email. What exactly is it when you someone tell you, or do you read it yourself the first time?
So I was literally standing in line at a sandwich shop, and I get a text from Donna, who works for the UFC, and she tells me that, "Hey, hun, check your email right away. You got a real important email from USADA." At the time, I'm not able to connect to Gmail at all, so I couldn't pick up the or check out the email. So I pretty much race home. I connect the Wi-Fi and I check out the email, and I notice that there's a violation code on there, and I immediately try calling her back while she's in Brazil, dealing with the fights there, and try to find out what's going on.
Now, how long, Neil, how long was that ride home when you had to find out what that email was? Because that's a rough ride home, dude. If it's 5 minutes, probably felt like five hours.
Yeah, that would be pretty short. I mean, I'm glad I didn't get a speeding ticket or no one was hurt on the way home. I mean, I was doing everything short of running red lights to get home as fast as possible. I mean, I was literally racing home. I mean, my car was red lighting at every light, just gunning it. So I made that drive very short.
So I was going to ask, what exactly is this banned substance that they're...
I honestly have no idea. Like, I literally was looking at it and I was like, dude, I don't even know what this stuff is. So I literally had to like copy the exact line that said what the substance was and Google it and try to get an understanding of it. Even after Googling it and spending time trying to research what this substance was, I still don't have a clear understanding of what exactly this thing is. I understand that it falls in the body of something called a SARM. Other than that, I literally have no idea what this supplement even is.
Did you look up what it does for somebody, or what some of the effects are?
And what's a SAR?
So looking it up, I got mixed reviews from some of the research. So the general thing that I'm getting from the substance being combined the way it was is that it's something that they normally prescribe to patients with osteoporosis and like degenerative like muscle diseases, that kind of thing, to help them rebuild muscle mass and bone production, that kind of thing. As far as like its benefits in the sports side of things, there's really not much research out there for it. Like
almost sounds like it should be legal.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
it's helping you out.
It's so crazy. Right.
now, Neil, if you're just eating, like, I don't know what your diet is, but you have to know what you're putting into your body in a sense, like, all right, man, I'm eating like chicken and brown rice this much of that, this much during the day, and then I'm having two protein shakes, and I would check out those protein shakes. Like, you have to know, there's nothing that you could look and be like, all right, I took that wacky creatine or something maybe I didn't trust. I mean, you got to know what you put in your body. You can't just wake up and be like, oh, man, there's some whatever the fuck this stuff is.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Dihydroxy,
What are you putting in there? Any kind of like, I don't know, like a weird coconut water or some shit? I don't know.
Yeah, so to even talk about that, I mean, my diet is pretty straightforward. My supplements are pretty straightforward as well. I mean, as far as the supplements that I do use are things I've been using for the past 2.5-3 years, which is pretty much as long as USADA has been around with the UFC. So I'm not necessarily adding anything new to my regimen at all that I haven't used in the past. I mean, I have the Muscle Farm products you can get at any health food store, which is third-party tested. I have some Muscle Milk in the fridge that I just pick up from the grocery store when I go grocery shop, and I have some Quest bars that I pick up from the grocery store. So I have all these things that are like third-party tested you get at your regular grocery store, which should not bring up any red flags or should not be alarming in any way whatsoever. The only other supplement that I can even consider that I even used was a CBD product outside of regular like things that you purchase at the store, is a CBD product. But even looking at CBD, I'm like, all right, if I failed a drug test because of CBD, or if I was flagged from a drug test because of a CBD product, maybe it's from THC or something like that. It's not going to be for some kind of SARM or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, it was the idea that this product was in a CBD or could be in a CBD or could be something like that was so far off that, like, it doesn't even make sense to me that could even be a fact that I would have to consider when using that particular product. But Yeah, man, I literally have no idea what this contaminant can possibly be from. I mean, at this point, I'm hoping it's some kind of human error on USADA's end or something like that, but I honestly have no idea where this contaminant could even come from.
Well, Curtis Blades came out and said that he knows you, and he believes, obviously, you're not a cheater, and whatever it is, it's probably a contaminated, you know, he really came out for you.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely appreciate that. That was one thing that... that I realized since making that post that I'm really grateful for. I mean, just coming out and being open with the public, being open with the media, being open with anyone who supports me with this whole process, and the feedback that I've been getting back from these guys has been great. I mean, for every one negative comment that I receive, I get 100 positive comments. Like, hey, man, there's no freaking way that you're a cheater. We all believe you. We all stand with you. We're hoping this thing gets resolved quickly. So knowing that, like, I have that kind of reputation in the MMA community and with the people around me, definitely was encouraging throughout this process as well. Even having the UFC step up and say, hey, man, like, there's no way you're cheating. You're one of the last guys in the roster we believe is cheating. We're with you 100% to get to the bottom of this and figure out what's going on. Cheating is definitely not something we believe that you're doing, and that's something I definitely appreciate.
And you don't have to come out and talk about this, because USADA won't announce it until after the test results or until the investigation or whatever it is done. What made you decide to come public very quickly and very immediately?
I just want to be open about this whole situation. I mean, I know for a fact what I did or didn't do, and regardless of what the findings are, I know for a fact that I didn't ingest anything that was going to give me any kind of advantage in competition whatsoever. So I didn't want to have to omit anything or lie about anything. When people were asking, like, my coaches or my teammates, oh, why didn't you pull out the fight? Is he injured? Is he hurt? I don't want to have anyone lie for me. I mean, that's not something that I've ever done in the past, and that's nothing I want to start doing now. So when this came out, I wanted to be as open and honest as possible. I was like, hey, man, this was going on. This is what USADA found. This is what they did. This is where we're at now. And just kind of be open with everyone throughout the entire process, let them know what's going on. I don't want to start changing who I am or trying to pretend to be something else that I'm not, just to try to cover tracks or anything like that. I mean, if I made a mistake and did something unintentionally, like, sure, I'll deal with that when the time comes. But knowing that I didn't do anything against the rules, I want to be as open as possible, as honest, be 100% honest about it, and just share the process with everyone.
Hey, I go by my instinct. Know that, Ray
I'm
Longo.
With you.
I believe
what you're going to say. Yeah.
I believe him.
Hey, listen, if I'm the judge, you're innocent.
He's innocent.
I'll tell you right now. You're on Unfiltered, you're innocent.
You might want to try to take up, be a lawyer or something. He's pretty good at stating his case here.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a smart move to be public. They called getting in front of the story, and it's smart of you to do, because it does sound like you're being very honest, and people around you seem to think that you're not a cheater. And if you have nothing to hide, that's, to me, what you're doing sounds like a guy who didn't do anything wrong. You're coming out, and you're immediately telling people what happened, and you're saying, I just don't know what happened yet.
Yeah, but absolutely.
There's guys that do that, Jimmy, and you go, as they're doing it, you go, he's cheating.
Yeah.
Right. He's not one of the.
Strikes me as being honest.
Yeah, he just seems like he's pretty together.
I mean, to be honest, it was kind of it was both rewarding and just kind of like unsure what to think at first. Like, some of the comments that I'm reading about people or people are saying about me with this whole situation, like, Neil, there's no way. Look, this guy's physique. There's no way he's cheating or taking any kind of muscle builders. I'm like, wait, is that a compliment or an insult?
Yeah.
Like, I honestly don't know what to think about that one.
That's pretty.
They say that about me, but they think I'm having breast augmentation. You know, put a few pounds on, Neil. But it is. I guess it's bittersweet. The fact that you know you're being truthful is why you can come out without any shame about it. But it's also probably, as good as it feels to be able to be truthful, it's probably frustrating because you're being penalized when you've done nothing wrong.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, I haven't been punished just yet. I guess, unfortunate that my fight was pulled away. But at the end of the day, there's a lot more worse things that can happen. I mean, for my opponent, luckily he's been able to get a replacement opponent, and he still has a payday coming. It's a little bit delay on my end, but this situation could be a lot worse than what it is right now. And even though it is not much, I'm trying to get the positive of it all.
Sure.
And I'm sure it's going to work itself out here very soon. And hopefully get rescheduled as soon as possible.
Do you think, you know, the supplements have caused a hard time for a lot of guys, and innocent. I mean, you know, guys getting suspended and really not. I guess they do help that much, but it's been talked about, like, why don't guys just stop taking supplements or only get them through food? Because this happens quite often.
Yeah, to be honest, I mean, after this, I've never thought that I'd be in a position where I can even be dealing with some kind of contaminated substance or anything like that. But find myself in a situation, that's something I'm going to have to do going forward. I mean, I can't risk the opportunity of something being pulled away from me based off of something that I did unintentionally. So going forward, this is something I'm definitely going to have to do. I mean, I'm going to be the guy that's like gets done working out, gets done training, and has a pack of chicken breasts ready to go eat rather than having a protein shake. I mean, there's going to have to be some changes made. But the other side of it that makes it pretty difficult as well is USADA gives us guidelines as far as like what to look for in a supplement. You would look for things that are third-party tested, third-party verified. They give us some of the companies that are pretty much are good at doing their research. But the thing that makes it difficult is even if a supplement company is trying to do the right thing and get their product third-party tested, the level of scrutiny that they're putting their product through is not the level of scrutiny that USADA puts the product to. So that kind of creates a whole nother level of issue there. I mean, like with the John Jones situation,
the picograms.
People were... Yeah, they're measuring down to picograms. I even know what the heck a picogram is, and I would imagine that it's pretty difficult and pretty expensive for a mom and pop shop or even some of these other companies that are just starting to make it big to really get things measured down to a picogram. I mean, they have their set standards for what's approved or what's legit for them, and that's what they go by. But if USADA is going a lot deeper than what these other people are doing in industry, that creates a whole nother issue as well. I mean, at this point, even if you are using a product that's third-party tested, it's not third-party tested to the depth that USADA does, and that's an issue.
All right, maybe we should stop. I'm starting to go the other way now.
What did you say?
I'm only kidding, Neil.
But
you know, here's my take on it, too. They have the Performance Center. Start a supplement company like Zions. This is the only place you get your supplements.
That's a great idea.
See what I'm saying? They have 400 guys, 500 guys. This is the way to end this. Then there's no supplement thing at all. The UFC provides it. They test it, and they have it, and that's it. Done. Done deal.
That's a great idea.
They put a lot of money into the performance centers. What's there to add in a couple of, you know, making the supplements?
And this way, if one comes up, and if, by the way, and that's a great point, because then if something tests dirty, they have everything right there, and the testing and the resolution, it could be a lot faster as well.
Yeah, because really, it's really not right if he did nothing wrong. He's out of the fight. Like, that is the punishment. That's the sad part of the story.
Sure.
You know what I mean? This guy's training for a fight. What are we, a week before? I mean, that's awful.
Yeah.
That's actually, that
out.
Is punishment, you know, so...
He's trying to stay positive, Longo. Could you stop bringing the guy down? Neil Magny's calling up. He should be, like, you know, guys like, oh, God, is he on a ledge somewhere? Is he really upset? You're bringing him down, man.
Oh, man. Neil, hold to your guns.
I'm
Neil. Don't even listen to him.
It's crazy. Over the last couple of days, I found out that I'm an emotional eater. I mean, every phone call that I took and I got upset, I ended up storming out of the house, and I found myself somewhere buying food, and then shortly I was back home calm, and then once the next phone call came up, I was right back storming out of the house going to the next restaurant. So I got to find out that I'm a very bad emotional eater, I guess.
Well, I must be very stressed out over your situation, because as you're talking, I was dumping out pretzels and little chocolate balls to eat.
Yeah. He was finishing up our snacks.
Yeah, Matt brings in snacks and I eat them. He does this to fat me up because he likes to be plump.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you should see. It's like a third grade classroom right now.
Hello, teacher. Do you have snacks for me?
Listen, all I know is what did you say before? What is it called? SARM?
SARM, yeah.
SARM, picograms. Can we get the Poindexters making up these words and kick the fuck out of them, please? Because they're annoying me. Hold on.
Oh boy.
What?
Hold on.
What was wrong with that?
Really?
There's nothing wrong with a good 1984 word for nerd. Bunch of nerds. Listen, Neil, we appreciate you being public with it and talking about it, and I hope it works out for you, man, because I think you sound like you're telling the truth, and I hope that's able to be proven. Look, Junior Dos Santos and a couple other guys were totally vindicated, so it could certainly happen for you as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like I said, I'm 100% faithful that this would all be cleared up pretty soon. I know for a fact that I didn't ingest anything or do anything illegal. So at this point, I just kind of have to go through the process and wait for my name to be cleared.
All right. I'd like to see you get rescheduled to fight Vicente Luque. He was just on the last episode. And he's an excite. You're both so styles make fights, and I was looking forward to you guys going at it. So yeah. Hopefully we, you know, you guys reschedule that.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully so. I mean, I know he has a new opponent this weekend to focus with, and things like that. Hopefully he comes out of this fight victorious, not dinged up, and we're able to reschedule this as soon as possible.
And Neil, you still talk to my old buddy, Amal Easton, still or no?
Yeah, absolutely.
Make sure you give him my best, okay?
All right, for sure.
All right, man. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Neil. Good luck, okay?
Take it easy, buddy.
All right, thank you guys. Have a good day.
Later, buddy. All right. Hey, man, listen, maybe I'm just an easy guy to win over, but I don't think that guy did shit.
No, he sounded like he's being very honest.
You know what I mean? I mean, I'd sooner believe that Longo's on something, to be honest with you.
That's Denny Stemley.
You know, I'd fucking...
Ray, with the suggestion of the century, though, that's a great idea. I don't know why no one's thought of that. Maybe they have and they can't for a reason. Watch. Or they don't want to get sued if the supplement is tainted. Maybe they don't want to be involved because if a supplement is tainted, then all of a sudden the fighter's like, what the fuck, and comes after them.
But that's the point, though. That's the whole point. Is this bullshit? I mean... Did this guy ingest some? He seems like he's got third-party tested protein shakes or whatever supplements. So where's the problem?
I forgot to ask him about the Game of Thrones, Longo. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
No, seriously, Jimmy. I know I have.
Do you watch Game of Thrones?
No.
Oh, he's a grown up.
Oh, well, you missed a good one when Jeff Lannister and his sister were hugging and kissing. It was a good one. Yeah. I can't wait till the last episode.
Can I just say
that,
goddammit, Paige, one of our listeners, one of the UFC Infilted Army, this girl from the UK, she pointed out something really smart. She said, look, I was all bitching about Daenerys going ape shit. And, oh, no, not that. She was saying that about Daenerys killing, you know, the bald gentleman.
Varys.
Yeah, melting him and stuff.
Daenerys killing Varys.
Saying, oh, how could she do that? And Tyrion's a snitch and yada, yada. I forgot that he was trying to poison Daenerys. I did forget that.
Was he?
Earlier in the episode...
Yeah, the opening scene, actually.
I didn't catch that. And,
a lot of people miss it, but I read it online.
He's talking to a... And another one of the UFC Unfiltered Army. I feel bad. I'm not mentioning your name, but I know you sent it to me. Several people did, so...
How was he trying to poison her?
There's a little girl that comes in. One of his little... Like, he has those little... Yeah. He has little... You know what he has?
Little birds.
Little birds. Jimmy's my little bird. It's kind of uncomfortable with Lockwood.
Jimmy, seriously.
Sorry.
I know I ask you this all the time, but I feel obligated.
Stop.
Come on, enough. Enough is enough.
I'm a small bird.
No? Jimmy.
Can't help
enough
it.
Enough is enough with this guy, you know. You're still going. You're hanging in there.
You might.
No problem. Yes. Come on, Jimmy.
Check's clear.
Just remember, you're my fucking brick. That hurts more than... That's more... I'm just going to pretend I didn't hear it.
Chris is leaving.
Chris.
Is that why are you stress sitting?
He redirects. That's what he does. He likes to get ahead of the story and redirect. I like your little sayings, my little Jimmy. Anyway, so he was talking to one of his little birds, and he was going, you know, she's like, he's not eating, sir. And he's like, well, all right, listen, let's try again at dinner. She's not eating.
She's not eating.
We've all made that mistake.
Jimmy. It's not a mistake, Jimmy.
I know.
In some cases, it isn't. Listen, she's not eating, my lord. I forgot what she said.
Basically, she's not eating.
She's not eating. And he's like, let's try again at dinner. He was trying to poison her. That's what. You mess with the dragon.
Yeah, well, no, because she worked in the kitchen. That's the other thing. Like the little girl that came in, she worked in the kitchen. He's like, all right, go back to the kitchen before they notice you're not there. You know, so it's.
Jeez, I almost forgot how much fun it was to be here.
Yeah, you mess with the dragon. What did they say? You
mess with the dragon, it shits and then burns your city. Something to that effect. Am I wrong?
Yeah. Why did she already won? Why did she have to take out everybody?
Because she wanted to. She was mad about the decapitation the week before.
All right. Sure. Yeah, but it's the innocent children's fault. Root and stem. Calm down with the whole root and stem thing, Daenerys.
What was that? What was that dragon thing? What was that?
You like westerns, don't you, Longo?
Yeah.
You like westerns. No. You do. I told you to check out Godless. Check it out. He's the one who told me to check out Hell on Wheels.
Oh, that was awesome.
Chris wants to make a comment. Chris, on your last day.
Oh, yeah, it's your last day, Chris. What?
I was just going to say, so Neil referenced Vicente Luque having an opponent stepping
in. That's right.
As of right now, as we're recording it, it's not official, but it's Derek Krantz is going through his medical work, and they're making sure he's clear and ready to fight.
Longo, what's your stance on the Derek Krantz? tell me right now.
It'll probably be official when the episode comes out, but...
Derek Krantz.
You got to be ready to... This is UFC Unfiltered, not an MMA... Whatever the fuck you do.
Do we have anything in the notes on Derek Krantz?
Well, listen, you got it.
UFC debut?
Yep.
Oh, is his debut? What are you?
I believe he's 6-0.
He's 24-10.
Why was I wrong? What's 6-0?
6-0 is Felicia Spencer. She's making her debut. She's fighting Megan Anderson.
Oh, she's not fighting Luque.
No, she's on the main card. I do like Megan Anderson, too.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Well, the other thing, by the way, when we go through our picks, fights might move around a little bit because of the, you know, but
jostling.
We'll do our picks.
So you're saying it might not be the co-main.
Chris, are you going to miss these guys?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah, sure. Man.
Longo.
Of course. Nice. And I really appreciate you coming in, Ray.
Let me tell you something. I came in just to see you.
That's really nice of you, man. I appreciate it.
Listen, Longo, last time we're ever going to see this guy.
I might be the only guy that sincerely is going to miss you in this group.
Well, me and you.
I mean, he might show up at the Comedy Cellar or something. He might see Jimmy, but... Look at that guy.
Look at him.
Look at him. I can't even look that way. Even that stupid thermos he's drinking out of right now, I'm going to miss him. Right?
I want to give him a break. What is that, a wooden
thermos? You know what I realize? That my friend Jimmy's cold as ice.
Why?
I don't know, man. Maybe you lost a lot, some of your buddies or something.
Not at all. Just, I like, I, you know
just,
what it is?
You're just like, ah,
I've been in the NOM a long time.
You're like Tom Berenger when somebody's in platoon, when somebody's dead. You're like, ah.
Chris is a water walker.
You don't give a fuck. You know,
everyone got to die sometime, Chris.
Produces, he's going to you. He's like, I don't think I'm making out of here, Bob.
Yeah.
And you're just telling
Chris, we need every swinging dick in the field.
I got a bad feeling about it. A bad feeling. All right.
Yeah, anyway. We're going to miss. Chris is great. Chris is the prep work. Chris, this is what nobody sees, is the prep work that Chris does.
This is going to be go ahead, the prep
people
work.
Think that Matt and I just are not prepared, but no, it's Chris's prep work
that
causes us to be confused. No, Chris does such a great job. We hate it. We hate that we're not going to have you on anymore. I wish there was something that could work out.
Yeah.
Maybe there is.
I don't know. Not in the cards right now, but...
Are we off for a couple weeks after this, too? I think we are.
We are, man.
I don't
He doesn't give a shit. He doesn't care anymore.
I don't blame him.
I give a shit, but you said that, Matt, that it was a two-week hiatus. Or I think you did, Jimmy. Yeah, I think it's a two-week little break. You guys will be on, then you'll be back.
I'm filming what Jimmy does with my snacks. He makes them like... He puts my one snack on top of my other snack, and he makes fun little treats.
They're like little snack...
My little bird.
They're like little snack bosoms. I don't want you to poke me.
Chris the producer's last day! And who else is going to be on today's show?
Help!
Okay, guys. Sorry, that's for the Instagram, everybody. And then tomorrow, you're going to listen to it. You're going to be like, I remember when he did this. Anyway.
It's going to be a very sad day. I hope they give us a good producer. I mean, you're going to be hard to follow.
I'm sure they will.
What if they don't? What if we don't have a producer? It's just me and you.
Do our own notes and research.
You might get Longo's afraid you're going to get sick of that. Me. Mm-hmm. You're afraid this guy's going to get sick of me sooner or later.
Man, I can't believe he's still with you. I'm not kidding.
Don't. First of all, that hurts because there's some truth to every attack. You know, like when I make fun that you lost your ass, it's really a compliment and an insult all at once. Because you used to have a huge ass, you lost it. You're in shape. When you're saying Jimmy's not going to miss me,
I'm working with you. He's saying that he can't believe I'm still with you, implying that you'd be very difficult to be around for any length of time.
Right.
So anyway, I'm going to miss Chris the producer also.
I will too.
I am.
Thank you guys. You know? Hey, and by the way, I got very nice. I got a lot of nice like messages from people on Twitter and Instagram.
Sure. Yeah, you should read them when you get home. Forging ahead.
I appreciate everybody reaching out. Thank you.
And people are hitting me up like, hey, come on, you know. Put Dana in a Kimura and make it happen. I go, what the fuck? You got to understand, we're leaving. Like, Chris, you work for Cadence.
We're not firing Chris. Chris is not being fired.
It has nothing to do with us, you know?
The fans were nice. We also read a lot of comments. People very pro Chris the producer.
Yeah.
Really
well, who would be against this guy? Look at him.
I don't know.
Nice guy.
Maybe somebody that tries to steal his fucking flame by going on his fucking shitty podcast and going, "Hey, Chris the producer." No, Fonz. That's not Chris the fucking producer. Look at him. That's Chris the producer.
That's right.
I know he might be a nice kid. Don't you fucking make me attack him. He's not Chris the producer.
All right, Potsy.
And look at your shirt, by the way. What are you, wrestling your fucking dog again? Could you stop? Could you get the you fucking stop? Lucky in a headlock. Wow. All right, anyway, Chris the producer, I'm going to miss you. Yeah. I'm going to miss you.
Thank you, buddy. I'm going to miss you too, man.
He makes me come out swinging.
I know.
No, but God, I'm going to miss you. I don't like that he used Chris the producer on his show. I have to tell him, man,
Chris,
the man.
We have a
he
guy,
respects me that I bring
We have
up
a guy who's a producer. His name is Chris. Yeah. What do you want me to call him?
Chris. Well, it makes sense.
No,
sure.
I mean, I'm
not Chris the producer. Just call Chris.
Wait a second.
Wait a minute.
Wait up. Wait,
Jimmy,
wait,
what
wait, hold
that?
On. Wait, no, don't say it yet. Tell him, Jimmy.
Say it, call him whatever you want.
No, seriously.
No. Oh, did I do that wrong? Sorry.
What do you call him, Jimmy? Seriously.
His name is Chris, but what do you call him?
We had to call him Chris the bartender.
No.
Because he was so bitching and moaning about knows. It every week. Yeah, Chris the cab driver.
You're
thanks for
talking.
Doing a good
How about Chris who produces?
Yeah. See, Chris that's a little different. The show.
Hey, Chris who produces.
We did that. We switched to that.
Really?
Yeah,
but Chris.
Don't, I'm not going through the old archives and pick. I like, listen, first
yeah,
of all, I,
go
like,
to the old.
I like Stevie too much to fucking attack your show.
Producer Chris.
It's a good show.
Producer Chris.
Producer Chris. Well, is that hard? All right, listen.
It's a done deal.
All right, let's put on.
Well, now it's a moot point. Right,
you
want
to shake hands on it?
Chris the cab driver.
Who's our next guy going to be? We don't know. We have to find out his name.
No, man. No, then, you know, it's just, you know. Anyway. Oh, yeah. What if we get a producer that.
Named Robin Quivers. They're going to think we're stealing from Howard.
He's got a vibe with us. You know?
Sure, yeah, of course.
If we should audition him or her.
Or her, yes.
Might be her who's great UFC knowledge.
Absolutely.
I don't know where they're going to get notes like this.
The notes are amazing.
It's not happening.
Chris's OCD contributes a lot to how good this program is.
It's a hard. And what if there's the new producer and I like we like to attack him and all of a sudden he gets, or her, and they get all like, oh, shut up. And we're like, all right, listen, don't tell us to shut up here.
Call we're just going
to
constantly.
We're the fucking talent. You're the fuck. We can't yell at him. I'm going to miss attacking him.
Yeah.
So you can still attack him.
Expect a lot more phone calls.
Well, maybe we could do something. Maybe Chris could come over. Why don't we?
Well, he could be a guest on the show.
That he could.
I would love that. I would love to do it for sure.
What do you want
to
do?
He'd love
maybe
to
be
do
a guest
that.
On the show.
If we can't get a fighter.
Right, of course, yeah. I mean, if you've exhausted all options, yeah.
I mean, yeah, we've got to be realistic about it.
I know how it
listen,
is.
Yeah. We really got to.
If we can't get that janitor from the Performance Institute.
Hey, listen,
you'd be more than welcome, Chris.
Hey, Rose wants to come on and talk about her loss, but we can't. We have Chris the producer talking about his new gig. Yeah, we could have you as a guest.
Well, listen, everybody's gonna miss you.
Yeah, but fans really love you.
You know, like in life, we have to move on. All right, listen to me.
Let's talk about when
Kevin Lee calling in?
We got Kevin. We have a little bit, half hour until
and
Kevin.
I tell you, he's fighting. What do we think about this?
RDA. It's going to be all up both again. Both guys went up in weight, so it's not like RDA is more used to fighting at that weight. Yeah. So Kevin Lee may have a nice burst of energy from not having the weight cut.
I tell you,
it's going to have to help. I mean,
This is what's going to happen here. Is RDA going to have enough off his back to reverse, take away, threaten Kevin Lee? Because I believe Kevin Lee's putting him there when on a well-timed takedown.
He's hard. I think he's hard to hold down, too, though. How much energy does he want to expend?
Look what he did to Barboza on the floor.
Yeah, but I think...
Yeah, he doesn't fight on the floor that much, either.
Who?
Barboza. You don't see him on the floor that often. That's rare. He's a black belt, I think, or a brown belt, but you don't see him on the ground. It's like watching Roy Nelson. You know, he can, but he doesn't.
Because it's usually hard to take down and keep down.
Well, I think what happened, too, is you got to remember Kevin Lee got him off of the Khabib mauling. So Khabib mauled him for three rounds.
Yeah, well, that's
like, that was a vicious, mauling on the floor. And I think that gives a lot of guys hope, too, when they see that. And it makes it a little easier, So I think Kevin Lee got to, get a Barboza that was just physically beat up really bad.
Barboza?
Yeah. Well, Khabib hammered him.
We'll see how RDA does. I mean, what's his last fight, Dos Anjos?
RDA, he's actually coming off of two losses. He lost to Colby Covington for the interim title, and then he lost to Kamaru Usman on Usman's way to the title.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Two big names to lose to.
It's two big names, but, you watch it the way how they fight him. They fought him the way that I'm talking about. He got out-wrestled.
Absolutely.
He didn't get out-struck like crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, those guys.
If anything, he's worried about the takedown and then getting hit, but they just out-hustled them. They out-took them. So could Kevin Lee do that for five rounds? He is threatening off his back. I mean, listen, he did strangle Neil Magny.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Who's not a little welterweight.
Chris, those were three-round fights?
I think those are both five-round fights, actually. The Covington one was five because that was for an interim title, and then the Kamaru Usman one was a main event. So, yeah, those are two five-round
fights. Kevin's last couple of fights are what? Iaquinta lost a decision, and what was before that?
Barbosa. Yep.
He had the win over Barbosa, which was a stoppage. And then
round four?
That actually went into the fifth round, which I thought it was the fourth round also. And then prior to that, he fought Tony Ferguson for the interim title, which he ended up losing.
He had the staph infection, though.
But he was compromised a little bit going into that fight.
I think Kevin Lee's going to beat him, and he's going to beat him with his wrestling. And I do like RDA.
Yep.
And I do like when he uses his jiu-jitsu smart. But he's smooth off his back, too. He's not bad. But he is – look at the last two fights, how he lost. I mean, he got just out-hustled by guys who were better wrestlers. And, you know, what Kevin Lee, he's so good at the takedown. He's so good at taking the back. Could he finish him? I don't think so, but I feel he could outpoint him. I feel he's going to win by decision because I think RDA is hard to put away.
That's what I have too, Matt. Yeah. I have Kevin Lee by decision. I think you're
right. That's a really good point. I guess I will have to take
do what you want.
Kevin Lee.
Listen, RDA is a former champ.
By third-round submission.
And he did take out Benson Henderson, and I mean, you know, RDA, when he's on, he's fucking on, know. But I feel Kevin Lee is a good fighter. He does if you look at what he did, I feel Al had his number, but it doesn't mean he wasn't threatening. You know, look how he took the back and.
Yep.
You know,
yeah, and without a cut, that's the thing. You know, fighting up a little bit, it's like maybe he has a little bit extra gas towards the end of a fight, and it makes a difference. RDA to me is a guy that is perfect for a 165 pound division. Like that's the thing. He's sort of.
You know what's interesting about that? Did you hear what I don't know? It's in the notes, motherfucker.
No, I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
Kevin Lee said that he wants to make one. He wants them both to, as like a point, make 165 just to show that they could do that, and that's a. That could be a weight class, that type of thing. Just do it.
Even I don't see that happening, though.
I mean, I think they'll be in the sauna and all of a sudden, like, 166. Like, all right.
Yeah.
Fuck it. I don't think it's worth, you know.
Yeah, depleting yourself extra for no reason. But, right. But, yeah.
Sure. Putting your body through anything extra.
Or you can both do. Or I was just lying. Oh, yeah, I'll do it. I'd come in at 170. You have 5 pounds.
How soon until he calls in? I got to take a leak.
Let's take a break.
All right, quick break.
Dads come in all shapes and sizes, and so should their shirts, like tall, slim, short, relaxed. Untuck It. It's not your father's old button-up. No matter what your size or shape, their shirts hit the right length to keep you looking sharp. You can find something for every style, from the VP dad that needs to look cool and put together in meetings all day in their luxe wrinkle-free shirts, or the casual dad running errands on the weekend in a pair of cool plaid button-down.
That's me!
I don't know if that's the cool dad.
No, I am a cool dad, but I'm a casual dad. And in Untuck It, I could be casual, but look at me.
I'm looking.
But classy. I feel good. So anyway, I love Untuck It. How does it fit me?
Yeah.
Look at me now. I look good?
You look great.
I look better in Untuck It.
With more than 50 fit combinations, Untuck It shirts look great on tall, short, slim, and bigger guys of all ages. And they're available with plenty of choices of color, material, and design. So you take your dad to try it in person at one of Untuck It's 50 stores, or just go to untuckit.com. You can look at the stuff on the site. Your dad can make a decision. You might not have to actually be there in the store. They even offer free shipping and returns on all orders in the U.S. You can save 20% on your first order by using our code UFC at checkout. Some restrictions do apply. Untuckit.com, promo code UFC. Keep Matt and I employed. And if you want to see Matt in his untucked shirt, maybe he can post a photo on Instagram looking handsome in his untucked shirt.
Well, you know, you have to follow me at Matt Sarah BJJ.
Wasn't supposed to give you plugs. It was supposed to get a plug for the company.
You're right.
Matt, you're missing the point.
I love untucked. He loves I love their shirts. Untuck It.
After a stressful game, it's only natural to need some well-deserved rest. Upgrade your current sleep situation because Mattress Firm is offering the best bed deal of the year. Get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price for savings of up to $700. Plus, take home a free adjustable base up to a $699 value. That's $699 for free. You'll only find these deals during Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. So don't miss your chance to start sleeping like a pro. Shop now at mattressfirm.com/sale. There's nothing worse than being uncomfortable in bed. It's horrible. You're not rested the next day. You suck at work. Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale is offering the best bed deal of the year. Save up to $700 when you get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price. Plus, take home a free adjustable base that's up to a $699 value free. Visit mattressfirm.com/sale for more details.
What up, everybody? This is CJ McCollum from the Portland Trail Blazers. And here's a little taste of what we talked about on this week's Pull Up podcast. Very special mini post-Game 7 episode of Pull Up. An epic Game 7 in Denver.
37 points, back-to-back, essentially closeout buckets. Why were you so successful last night?
I think it just really came down to my demeanor and mindset. Empty the clip, leave nothing out there. I wanted to say I did everything in my power, and I left all my bullets out there on the court and didn't bring anything home.
How do you shift to a completely new animal, an absolute monster in the Warriors?
In the playoffs, it just comes down to X's and O's and execution more so than anything else. The Warriors aren't going to run a lot of plays. They're going to run a lot of misdirection out of timeouts and late clock situations. But most of it's going to be mid pick and roll. It's going to be pin downs and flares and things of that nature for Klay and Steph in a lot of transition. So you have to guard the 3-point line, get back in transition, and make it as difficult as possible on them. Don't forget to
pull up.
Subscribe and listen every week on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
All right, listen.
Listen, Jimmy, can I just tell you, Jimmy?
Sure, Matt.
I'm happy that Longo is here, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But holy fuck, man. Are you out of your mind? We're trying to do a commercial, but now that we're back from commercial.
Oh, we're back?
We're back. The guy's finishing the Cali. And I thought it was a joke at first. He's sitting there and he goes... He's crumpling up the fucking.
Yeah,
I go.
Oh, I thought it was raining.
Yeah, people will not have heard that. But
what the? You know, no. I know that you're going to try to get that.
Why
out
not
of
leave
there?
It in there? Leave it in. Why not?
I don't think the good people at Nantucket are going to.
Oh, you know what? They might not. It sounds like he's doing Foley work, yeah. like the old days. It sounded like he was going, and you know, there was a fire, and it was crackling. We were all burning.
I was looking at his
face.
That
sounded good, Jimmy.
Thank you very much.
I was looking at him when he was doing it to see if he was like trying to like F with me. He wasn't even looking. He was like looking off in the space.
Yeah, he was gazing off, thinking about his own Chris the Producer. Listen, we have huge
back
news,
to the fights.
Which has been broken already, but we have been pushing or at least stumping for our pal Frankie Edgar. And we also like Max Holloway so much. Oh, so they're finally doing it.
Oh, man.
It is Holloway against Frankie Edgar, July 27th from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. This is UFC 240. This is for the UFC light middleweight title.
That's huge.
It's a new
man.
Division.
That is.
I just want to see if you were paying attention.
And he
I said light middleweight, Matt.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, he sure. Yes,
I
did.
Thought you messed up. I didn't want to embarrass you.
No.
I didn't know that Kimura's sister's training. Look, who's that? Aspen Ladd?
Kimura Ladd.
I like that. She's fighting, though. You guys are joking around.
What a fight that's going to be. Frankie against for the lightweight title,
of
course.
That's going to be
great. Featherweight title, of course. What an amazing fight that's
going to
be.
And the right thing to do.
Hey,
it is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
He's done so much for the sport. He achieved so much, including taking that fight on short notice with Brian Ortega. He's always stepped up.
That's right.
It's the least they could do, you know, give him a shot at the champ.
Alexander Volkanovski made a good point, though, about, hey, that's a risk you take. And he fought really great against Jose Aldo. But coming back, he has some kind of a blood infection. He had to stop in Chile. He's in, where is he, in Santiago, Chile?
Yeah, he's in Santiago, Chile. He has a blood infection, like Jimmy said. They're trying to clear it up. They think he's going to be fine, but he just, you know, he can't travel.
Oh, was he on the plane and he felt sick?
He started getting worse on the plane, so I guess they landed.
What's that mean, getting worse? Like, something.
His foot was swelling up, they said. He wasn't feeling great. His foot was swelling up, and so I guess he had a stopover in Chile and on the way home, and that's where he is now.
He didn't get back on the plane.
No.
But the swelling.
So he never made it home yet.
No, he's still in Chile.
He's still in Chile, yep.
If
But
man, I hope he gets out of there.
Jose Aldo had something going on too. So Chris, you speculated before the show that maybe he caught it from Jose. There might have been a blood infection.
Yeah, who knows? Aldo almost didn't make it to the fight. There was a bunch of reports, like for a couple of weeks leading up to it, that he might have to pull out. That he was in the hospital, Aldo, getting treatment for some kind of infection. So who knows if it, you know? I mean, I'm not saying that's definitely it, but it'd be a weird coincidence, kind of. Right?
And you wonder, after moving up to lightweight and losing to Poirier, you know, come back down and fighting at featherweight, how is that going to affect Max? Is he going to be relieved to be back at his own weight? Or is now, having had that one fight without the cut, now is this going to be a little harder because he has to make the cut again? How will that affect him? You know, Frankie Edgar's cardio is going to be incredible. Max's cardio is going to be incredible. Yeah. Both of these guys are extremely good on their feet.
So I think it'd be harder if Max had been up at lightweight for a few fights where he put on a little bit more muscle and he was more attuned. Like, people were saying there was an obvious like power discrepancy between Max at 145 and moving up to 155. Yeah. He was landing shots and it didn't seem to be affecting Poirier the same way Poirier's shots were affecting Max. So maybe after a couple of fights it probably would have made a big difference, but I think he's probably good to come back to 145.
Frankie, oh yeah.
And when you look what he's done at 145, he's been looking
devastating.
He's been looking amazing. And just his fight with Brian Ortega, both his fights with Jose Aldo, because Jose Aldo, besides those, has been looking really good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
So, but Frankie, styles make fights, and Frankie makes really good fighters. Like, he keeps them guessing between the striking. And well, he's so good everywhere.
He's great at everything. Pound, yeah.
The way he mixes it up with the takedowns, where you're like, all right, look, he's a little smaller. He's not getting him down. Next thing you know, he's lifting him up. He's relentless. Edgar is relentless
and almost impossible to knock out. That's why Ortega dropping him was such a shock, because Frankie has had like concrete. I mean, he just doesn't go down.
He's had true Rocky movies in there with Gray Maynard.
Oh, those fights were crazy.
Oh man,
I always think about that. Gray Maynard must just wake up in the middle of the night sometimes. Like, I was 1 second away from being the champion. You know, it's so close.
Was that the first round that was happening?
Yeah, that was the first round. That ended up being a draw.
And it's amazing when you see guys over how many fights they don't just hold up. Like Frankie's, I mean, listen, he got caught the one time, but that was it. I mean, even, you know what I mean? I mean, he had those decision losses to Jose Aldo. I think the one fight was closer than the other. That was a close fight.
I think the first fight was really close.
One of them was really close. Yeah. It's weird when you have two guys that fight twice and it's over a while ago. They kind of mix into each other. But I remember watching it thinking one fight was really...
No, I think I could make a case for Frankie.
Yes, that's what all I remember those
fights,
that.
Any fight he lost, with the exception of the other one.
Ortega.
Yeah.
So I mean,
I can make a
saying.
Case he won, even with Benson Henderson, those fights were...
Oh, cool. Yeah. Oh, 100%.
I thought Frankie won those fights.
Yeah. What did he lose, five fights? He lost five?
He's got six losses and a draw.
Yeah, but a lot of those, again, you could have went the other...
Yeah.
I'm going to have to. I hate to do this to you. Like, I don't want to treat you like a little kid, Longo. You're a tiny bit older than me. Well, you got to stop messing with that bag. He reached for it again. There's nothing left.
There's nothing in there.
There's nothing left. Jimmy's even telling you.
I had to throw my gum out. Is that all right?
Sure.
Ooh, I like that. Mm-hmm. I like when you guys go at it.
Why? I don't disagree.
It's like if Bob Kelly came in here and I'm like, yeah, shut up, Bob. And Bob's like, fuck you,
I
Matt.
Would love that. I'd love to see you grab Bob and take him in a single leg and put him down and actually snap his knee. I want to see Bob taken out of here in a stretcher. A very strong stretcher.
You know what's funny about that? Wait a second. Louis J. Gomez put on, I think it was him, he put on his Instagram about Daenerys killing Bob Kelly, but it was really fucking
embarrassing.
I don't know. That's not funny.
We've been saying that for years.
Oh, have they been?
I'm
always late to the fucking. Oh, you guys have?
Of course.
All right.
They said that right around the time gluten came out.
You heard that one then?
Yeah.
You heard that one. You don't even know. You don't watch Game of Thrones.
I take Jimmy's word for it.
Yeah, that's true. Very good.
All right, let's get back to Krista Bedusa leaving.
Well, what? No. Right, why don't we? Right, why don't
what do we got?
Can we make a couple more picks before we get Kevin Lee on the phone?
All right, let's just be a Jimmy, because no one will ever hear your. That's I'm only kidding. That's
really
so
true.
Mean.
I mean, it is true though. Yeah.
This really has nothing to do with
to
anything.
Have Chris's takes in there, just for old time's sake.
Yeah, it's true.
Can't do it, Chris.
Maybe we'll put him in the intro in front of the camera today.
I think so. That'd be
but
nice.
We got to be on the camera. So
of
some,
course we do. To we, get,
I mean, listen. Hey, someone's
hey,
someone's
hey,
got
hey.
To work the camera.
I did think of that.
Look to my left.
I know you meant. Well, you don't even have to look to your left. There's only four of us. Just three of us are in. The other one's doing the camera.
Longo, just don't cut our heads off. Just seriously.
Yeah.
You could talk. You know, at the
know
end
what I'm doing now, Jimmy? checking the train time.
What a prick. What a prick. You know, have respect. It's his last day. Have respect.
I came in for him. Are you kidding me?
All right, let's get back to some business.
Now we have
Aspen Ladd.
Vicente Luque.
My bad.
Against, what's his name?
Derek Krantz, again, he's going through his medicals. They're making sure that he's clear, but that's who.
Let's assume it's going to be him as of now.
Correct.
What's his record?
He is 24-10, and like we said, he's making his debut on 3-4 days.
I will take Vicente Luque.
Yeah.
By second round TKO.
Yeah.
What was his record though?
24-10.
He's a veteran.
He's a real veteran. He fought in LFA his last fight. He won that fight by knockout. He's got a few knockouts to his credit.
You know what? I'm going to say Vicente Luque first round because again, he's coming in on. First fight in the UFC, and a lot of those guys actually do okay, Luque is ready to fight.
Luque's a beast, too. I'm going first round homicide.
Yeah.
Oh, my good. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How's he going to win? Not by killing him.
TKO.
Oh, yeah.
Or knockout.
Possible death.
Plus, this guy hasn't, I don't know if this guy's had a full camp in it.
No, I mean, there's no way. I mean,
he's been in shape.
Yeah, I'm sure he's training and everything, but he's jumping in. He had a fight, actually, you know what? He had a fight March 29th, so it's like he's not. Probably too far out of shape, but
right.
What's he thinking? What's his record again?
24-10. He's had a lot of fights.
So he's been to the dance, Krantz.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Boy,
just wanted to say that.
Yeah, you did, and it worked.
It worked.
Aspen Ladd and Sajar Eubanks. Now, are they on the main card?
No. So that they are the main event of the prelims. That's at 5:00. It's actually. Megan Anderson and Felicia Spencer is actually on the main
Felicia
card,
so. Spencer 6-0. It's her first fight.
I didn't actually make my pick.
Yeah, you didn't.
Whatever.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's all right, Jimmy.
No. Make your pick.
All right, jump the gun, Jimmy.
Make your pick.
All right.
He'll take Eubanks.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not talking about Eubanks.
He'll take Eubanks for 20.
I think Vicente.
He thinks he's on Jeopardy.
How many finishes by submission? I know where I wish I was at, anywhere but fucking here. But why are you sitting next to me?
You're asking how many finishes does Vicente have
by submission and or by knockout in the UFC?
Hold on, let me.
I'm not trying to put you to work your last day. Yeah, exactly. You got a bitch your last day.
You're already on vacation. Sorry. He's got his Hawaiian shirt on.
I know. And rip that fucking piece of shit hippie mug.
He has 4 submission wins in the UFC, and he has. 5 KOs.
Well, it's time. It's time to even the score. Don't look at me, Longo. I'm going to say Vicente by submission in the first round. Okay.
Yep. I'm going to take. I am going to go with Vicente first round knockout. I think he's ready to go. Ooh. He's a finisher. And
could you put that there?
From what I understand, Derek Krantz is also a guy that likes to come forward and throw hands. So it could end up being a pretty exciting first round. So there we go.
Well, I'm excited about it. Let's go to the next fight.
Let's get Kevin Lee on the phone, then we'll go to the next
fight. Oh, shit.
I like Kevin Lee.
Yeah, I do too.
All right, cool. So we're going to get Kevin Lee on in a second. Jared Cannonier, I'm looking forward to talking to. That was very impressive. Although Anderson Silva's not hurt that badly, which is nice. So he can, I guess.
Not hurt that badly.
He can resume training soon. He was hurt very badly in that moment.
I like the way Jared Cannonier conducted himself.
Yeah.
After the fight, when the audience was booing and he was just looking like.
When he calls, I'm like, all right, Jared, just make you feel at home.
That's great.
I like it.
That's fucking funny.
All right. Hey, Kevin, how you doing? It's Jim and Matt and Chris.
Jedi and Chris.
Where is he?
Oh, no.
And a guy that might look for more cauliflower pretzels and fucking crumple up the thing. All right, Longo.
Oh, boy.
Longo, did you ever find your poutine in Canada?
Oh, boy.
We had a good time, though, didn't we?
I thought Canada was great.
I got confused between that and Austin, Texas.
Nice people in Ottawa.
Yes. No? Ottawa, the people were very nice.
Unbelievable.
You know? I like, I'll tell you, Toronto is really nice.
I love Toronto. Ottawa.
You, Jimmy.
Yeah.
You love Toronto.
I do.
You know, Montreal, when I was over there with my buddy Pat Cote. Not when I was over there fighting. When they were chanting. Well, Longo will tell you. What were they chanting, Longo?
That was a rough
What were they chanting? You remember exactly what they were chanting?
Ali Bumbaye.
Why would you laugh at that?
That's a very funny chant for them to be yelling at Matt Serra in Montreal.
Yeah, I don't think they were yelling that.
All right, here we go. We got it.
They were calling for death, though, for sure.
They didn't like us. Yeah, well, me. They didn't like me.
Merde. Shit in French.
Yeah. It was kind of like...
All right, we got him. What's up, Kevin?
Princess Bride, but he's like, boom!
How come you don't want to get him, Chris?
I'm trying to.
Why won't you get him?
I don't know. It's not connected.
Did the guy find out that Longo's in studio?
No, it's not connecting.
No, I have nothing. I like the guy.
I like him, too. You know? And I'm hoping that he sings and dances to the fucking cage.
By the way, what do you think what do you think of Cowboy Tony Ferguson?
What do you think about that, Longo? Come on, man.
What a quick turnaround that is, man.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Cowboy would literally fight every 10 days if they let him. What an animal.
That is phenomenal.
And he's loving this new weight for some reason, going back down from welterweight.
Yeah. Oh wait, oh yeah, that's right.
Not new weight, but you know he's happy. He seems like he's happier here.
Well, I'm gonna be happy to see Tony Ferguson back, you know, and that's gonna be a main event. That's gonna be a five rounder. That's gonna be interesting.
No, it actually won't be. Oh, no, because that's on the June 8th card.
My bad.
That's Moraes and Cejudo is the main event.
Oh, Shevchenko
and Issa. That's only a three round fight, which is even
Moraes and Cejudo. Wow.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Well, then in that case, that's an interesting.
I really want to see Marlon Moraes. He trains out in Jersey with Frankie Edgar, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. Yeah. Mark Henry.
Yeah.
You know,
I met him on the bus. He's a really nice guy.
Oh, nice.
The great
sweetheart.
Mark Henry and Ricardo Almeida. Yes. No. Yeah. Really nice dude.
Marlon?
Yes, Marlon's
a
great
killer
guy.
Too, man.
Yeah, he is. You know, it was so weird when I don't like when our guys fight
guys that you like. Yeah.
I mean, I like everybody, but some guys you're closer with than other guys, and it's like you know, because it's the fucking fight game, Jimmy.
Yeah, somebody you like is either gonna hurt somebody or get hurt.
Yeah.
It's even hard to do picks when you like a person and you've talked to them. Because you always feel like, I don't want to root against the guy because I really like him. And you're not rooting. You're just thinking who's going to win.
Yeah, but you can't help it, though, sometimes when you make the pick and then you're watching. It's
and you kind of want the person. I'm like, what am I doing?
I know, it's stupid.
And to get back to what we were talking about with the Game of Thrones, I just want to put out there that now I don't feel so bad about Daenerys. I mean, listen, she went apeshit at the end. But about her taking out the bald gentleman.
Fuck her.
Fuck him, man. He shouldn't have tried to kill her. Anyway, all right, so I flipped on that.
Plus, he was talking out of school.
He should have. Yeah, Jimmy, that sounds cool when you say that.
Yeah.
Say it again. What was he doing?
He was talking out of school.
Man. Jimmy's got so many cool sayings. He's talking out of school, and they call that getting ahead of the story. No, now you ruined it. You ruined it with that. All right. Oh, wow. I didn't even know these guys were fighting.
Yeah.
Oh, good old Shoe Face.
That's right. That's right. Antonio Carlos Jr. versus Ian Heinisch. Excuse me?
How dare you?
Longo, it's not an insult. Don't be like that.
Oh, I thought he...
Listen, tell me about Ian.
He's on a 4-fight winning streak.
Yes? What about in the UFC? He's on a 4-fight winning streak?
He has one win in the UFC. He beat Cesar Ferreira in his UFC debut.
Oh, wow.
And then he came off of the Contender Series. He won that.
Oh, wow. How did he win that?
By a first-round finish.
Of course he did.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, and how did he win the last one?
Unanimous decision.
And see? Oh, interesting.
Yeah, Ferreira's a very tough guy, for sure.
The fuck is this guy laughing at? What are you talking about?
Where is he right
I'm
now?
I'm in the zone, man. Can you stop trying to be my kryptonite?
Yeah, can you pronounce guy's name?
Oh, Antonio Carlos Jr.? Go fuck yourself.
The guy he's fighting.
No, that's that you put too
it's
many syllables
Ian!
In.
Ian! It's Ian!
Ian Heinisch.
Oh.
It's Ian! Cut the shit! Ian Heinisch! Let's call the whole.
Now, what is Carlos
I'm saying that. How about this? This is what I'm saying. Shoeface is going to win by first round rear naked choke. If you don't know, now you know, Longo.
What did Carlos do in his last couple of fights?
He's currently riding a 5-fight winning streak. Ooh. He's coming off of a rear naked choke win over Tim Bosch in his last fight.
And how about before that?
Rear naked choke over Jack Marshman. And before that, rear naked choke over Eric Spicely.
Now, what has Heinisch done in his last couple of fights?
He won his last fight by unanimous decision over Cesar Ferreira, and then he was coming off of a knockout in the first round on the Contender Series.
TKO, Heinisch, second round.
Wow.
You're not getting that. Four rear naked chokes in a row. It's not happening.
Maybe really? You're not, Jimmy.
Yeah, I don't know.
My
man,
good old buddy Shoeface might.
I have Antonio Carlos Jr. by second round submission. I think.
Okay, well, you guys
but we'll see.
Wrong.
I mean, that's a really interesting fight.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah, you'll never know how these picks play out.
He hangs out with Dean Thomas.
He's fucking fucked up, right?
Now, Charles Oliveira against Nick Lentz. That's a really good fight.
Well, actually, sorry, we skipped over Megan Anderson and Felicia Spencer.
What's Anderson in the last couple fights?
I'm pulling it up right now. Megan is coming off.
Oh, she had
off.
An eye thing, right? Last fight.
Yeah, the eye injury against Katzengada. She won by when she kicked Katzengada.
Doctor stoppage,
eye,
yeah.
Which wasn't, you know, Megan Anderson's fault. She was doing the right thing.
Yeah, it was a mistake.
And then prior to that, she had a unanimous decision loss to
Holly Holm. Right.
Yeah.
And how about, who's her opponent? Sorry.
Felicia Spencer is making her UFC debut. She's 6-0. And she's undefeated, obviously, but she was fighting in Invicta all six of those fights. So that's a
who's she train
pretty
with?
High level thing.
Stump you on your last day. Stump you on your last day. Stump you on your last day.
Probably.
We're gonna miss Chris, the producer.
That probably didn't need to be a song.
It says she's fighting out of, so I'm looking on Tapology. It looks like she's fighting out of Orlando, Florida, but she has a Brazilian jiu-jitsu base. She also fights out of Jungle MMA and Fitness. So
Megan Anderson decision.
Okay. And then we have Kevin Lee.
Jimmy's like the amazing Kreskin over there.
But he's wrong all the time.
Just thinking Megan Anderson.
I could sing if I want to. I could sing.
You can?
And I'm going to sing. I'm going to annoy the fuck out of everybody in this room for this last day. Christopher Medusa,
yes,
I'm going to make this transition a lot easier for you. I'm just going to be so fucking annoying the rest of this goddamn show.
You shouldn't
just
announce that 58 minutes.
Can we make your pick because we have Kevin Lee. We'll get
him. Oh, is he on the phone now?
I'm going to call as soon as we make this pick.
All right, we got Kevin Lee.
I'm going to go with... Megan Anderson.
Okay.
By decision.
I have exactly the same thing.
I think that's a good bet.
All right, let me get Kevin home.
All right, Jimmy. You know?
Yep. I'm glad we're finally getting Kevin, too.
Me too, buddy. Any more acting gigs with you?
Hey, we got Kevin Lee. Hey, buddy, how are you? You're talking to UFC Unfiltered.
Yes, sir. What's going on? Sorry, my bad. If you called just a minute ago.
Oh, that's okay.
I didn't know if that was good.
No, it's okay. We're glad we got you. You're up in Rochester now. Are you having a good time? There's not a whole lot to do in Rochester.
I mean, you know, I'm seeing the inside of a hotel, but I'm going up to 170 for this fight, so I'm eating a little bit more. I'm enjoying myself a little bit more. I'm doing all the media and everything today, but I'm in a little bit better mood than I normally would be.
Yeah, so what are you, you don't have to cut at all, or you have to cut very, very minimal this week?
I still have to cut a little bit. You know, I'm in my peak form, in my peak shape, I'm still about 180 pounds. So I'm still the same for this one. So it'll be a tiny cut, but not nearly as much as I would for a 155-pound fight. You know, I'm only a few pounds bigger than I normally would be about now, except I don't have to cut an extra 16 pounds on top of it and dehydrate my brain.
No, Kevin, now are you going to go down to 165? Because you said that you might do that. Or are you doing that? Because you might want to prove a point like, hey, man, this should be a weight class, and you were telling RDA that he should do the same. Or can you tell me about that?
I thank him too. I talked to him again this morning. You know, I tried to like make the pitch and kind of give him the reasons, but I don't think, you know, he turned it down. So since he did, I mean, you know, the only thing I've been looking for the beginning is a fair fight. As long as we the same size and we the same frame and everything, then, you know, it makes sense for us to fight at 165. You know, it would have just been kind of a push towards the UFC because they've been reluctant to do it. It's just to say, look, this is what we can't compete healthy at this weight. But if he ain't looking to do it, then, you know, I don't know. We'll see as it gets closer. Maybe tomorrow night I might be halfway through the cut and be like, all right, two more pounds. Let me go ahead and do it.
Well, you know what, Kevin, if you could you pull the phone away just a teeny bit? Because we're coming a little bit in and out. We want to make sure we hear everything you say. And, you know, it's kind of hard, too.
Oh,
like,
no.
When you're saying – Because for him, he's been cutting to 170 for a while. You know, you're saying, like, hey, let's make a bigger point here about the weight, the divisions, but it's kind of hard to do that when you have to fight, I guess. Maybe he's thinking, like, I have to fight, and I'm a little worried about cutting more than I have to make a point.
Yeah, I mean, that, and, you know, I hear he gets a little bit bigger in between fights, too, that he gets above 200 pounds. So, you know, even cut to 170 might be a lot for him. But you know, I don't know. It still makes sense to me. You know, it may be sure. If we would have, but I, at the same time, I know what we signed up for. I signed the line and said that I'll make 170 plus one. So you know, if that's all I got to get down to, look, it ain't no skin off my teeth. It ain't bothering me really none. It would have just been to make a point. But if not, then the only thing I'm worried about is the fight itself.
Sure, and we've talked to other guys too who have gone up. And it seems like it doesn't just change your mentality in this final week. Did you feel differently kind of knowing you didn't have this giant weight cut throughout the entire camp?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be lying if I say it didn't make a big, big difference. You know, just being able to train as hard as I could and then being able to replenish myself at the end of the night and just not have that worry in the back of my head, you know, coming down from 185 and kind of knowing, okay, am I gonna be able to make it? Like, I've done it before from this weight, but you know, is this time gonna be different? And you kind of got that anxiety, you got that you don't really know for sure. For this one, I didn't have none of that. I was able to focus just on Delfonso. I'm going to have to because I know what type of challenge he presents to me.
Well, he's 3-2 since heading up to welterweight. And it seemed, you know, Cowboy had kind of almost, I believe, close to a 500 record. And it seems like the extra energy you get and the lack of an intense weight cut sometimes is balanced out by the fact that you're fighting bigger guys or heavier hitters than you would be at lightweight. But RDA is a guy who also went up, so maybe that helps.
Yeah, I mean, it for sure helps. You know, we, like I said, we have a similar size and frame. And at the end of the day, I'm just looking for a fair fight. You know, I fought guys even at 155 who were bigger than me stepping into the cage. You know, and the only reason why I've been cutting the weight is because everybody else is. So it just makes for a fair fight. But, you know, for this one, I think we've kind of found the sweet spot with it. It makes a whole lot of sense. And you've seen other guys who've coming up, like Pettis and Masvidal and some of these Chiesa and some of these other guys who are coming up and having a lot of success up here. It might just be the evolution of the sport, and I'm not going to get left behind in it.
Now, do you feel like, Kevin, are you going to go by just this fight and see how you feel at 170, or do you feel you have unfinished business at 155, or we're seeing how everything goes this weekend?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of taking it. The biggest thing for me going into this one, even when I got the offer, was just that I fought. You know, I just wanted to fight and kind of get the taste of the last fight out of my mouth. And, you know, when they approached with Dos Anjos, it just made a whole lot of sense. As I'm getting closer, I'm starting to like it a little bit more, and I'm starting to see, like, what else is around, and there's a lot of talent at 170. So there's a lot of big fights to be had. You know, you got Askren, you got Colby and Kamaru and Masvidal and Pettis and Diaz. There's a lot of big fights, so that kind of enticed me, but I don't know. We'll talk more after the fight, and I'll really get able to make them type of decisions. Now I'm just focused. Just solely on Dos Anjos right now.
Hey, what do you think of Dos Anjos' last couple of fights against Kamaru Usman and Colby Covington?
You know, I mean, I'm not really looking at those as negatives for him. Right. You know, he's a world champ, so I'm going to give him that respect. If anything, I think, you know, he's going to come out even harder going into this one. He might even push a little bit harder in training, and he might really want to prove a point and show that he's still out here to be had. You know, he's going to use that experience of going against those bigger, stronger kind of wrestlers who really kind of bullied him. He's going to try and use that experience against me. So I'm expecting the best version of him, even better than when he won the title. So, you know, I'm not using it as a negative at all.
Right. Yeah, I was just wondering if you had learned anything from watching this. But you're right, he was fighting probably bigger and heavier guys. And he's a little bit more used to fighting it that way, so he might have packed on a little bit more muscle in the last year or two.
Yeah, that too. And like I said, just using that experience too, you know, he might just know that he's already, you know, been there and kind of already got bullied around. So he's going to know when to push the gas and when not to. And I'm expecting that out of him. And, you know, and even those two losses, those aren't like, you know, I can't really look at that and take nothing from it, because, you know, those are two of the best guys in the division. It's not like, you know, he's just kind of losing his steam and losing his – and he went five rounds with him, too. Sure. So I'm not taking nothing away from him.
Did you wind up staying down at lightweight longer? I know you said you're stubborn. Did you stay there a little longer than you think you should have? Had you had the urge to come up sooner and just didn't want to?
Yeah, I'm a little stubborn. I ain't gonna lie. You know, when people tell me, you know, what to do and or what I should do, I kind of always go against the grain a little bit. But for me, it just seemed like the right timing, I guess.
Sure.
And things are just gonna come as they are, and it seemed to make more sense to me. But you know, it does seem a little bit better. And as I've already gone through the training camp and noticed, even just my general mood on a day to day is like, yeah, we probably should have been did this.
No, okay.
No, I was just gonna say, regardless, you know, of the outcome, you did have. It is good that you just went five rounds. I'm not saying just went, like you know, you can go five rounds, and five, you know, well paced rounds. So I mean, how many times have you went five rounds? Was that the first time your last fight?
And that was first time. And I take, like you said, it regardless of what happened and how it looked and all that, it is a good experience to get out there, because sometimes you go into these, you know, I've had a lot of fights scheduled for five rounds already, and I've gone through five round training camps, but I hadn't gone through a five round fight until then. So, you know, it definitely does help.
No, I mean, regardless, yes, your IQ, your fight IQ 100% goes up.
Yeah, especially when you're going against somebody like Dos Anjos, who's been through multiple five-round fights, you know, over his career. I mean, he's been through, I think, six or seven that have gone the distance. So, you know, having that type of experience, just knowing that I can push the pace and keep pushing and keep pushing. And against somebody like Al, who is going to be in your face the whole time, and he definitely was, and he definitely pushed the pace even higher. It's going to really, I think that's going to show through in this fight. You know, all these experiences, they, good or bad or whatever, however you want to take them, they, you know, you just have to take them how you get them. You know, only thing I can control is myself and what I've already been through. And I just learn from my mistakes, and I learn from fights that I win, I learn from fights that I lose, and I just try and get better for the next one, and this is going to be more dumb.
And Kevin, last thing before we let you go, had you made the decision to move up, or was it the fight offering that made your final decision? Like, did you say, regardless, I'm going into welterweight, or did they say, hey, look, we could see a fight between you and RDA, and you went, okay, that makes my decision for me?
No, no lie. It was the timing, and it was the decision based on the opponent and the timing of it too. You know, 155 that really got kind of log jammed and backed up, and you know, I didn't know who I was going to fight and when I was going to fight. It seems like it really isn't getting figured out to the end of the year. And for me, it was about, I just want to fight. I want to get out there. I want to, you know, kind of get that last performance behind me and really test myself again. So when they approached with RDA, I already knew that he was going to, you know, he's already fought the who's who of both divisions. He damn sure ain't going to back down from the sure. fight. He's going to show up and he's going to give me a good one. And it's the right time. And then it rather come sooner rather than later for me. And it just made more sense.
And two other guys who have jumped up, Pettis against Diaz announced. What do you think of that fight? I think that's a very interesting fight.
Yeah, it's a good fight. I mean, I don't know. I don't really know how to break that one down just yet. I mean, I know Pettis he's been taking a little bit of damage over his last couple fights too, and Diaz has had some time off and time, but that's also time to recover. But then at the same time, Pettis has been more active, and his timing might be a little bit better, and you know, he's a little bit more well rounded, and he might have a little bit more power too behind him. I don't know. As he gets closer, I'll probably be able to give you a better prediction. Right out the gate, I'm thinking Pettis, but I don't know. I don't know. You will have to see how it play out.
Do you believe in, like, well, your ring rust or cage rust? Do you believe that is the thing, that the longer you lay off, it takes a while to shake it off, or no?
I definitely think it takes your timing away from you. It does take you a few minutes to kind of get that going. And again, somebody who is like real explosive and can really put you out with one shot, that it's a real dangerous thing. But somebody like Diaz does have, I mean, his chin is just made of granite or something. You know, he can keep taking them and keep coming. So he's going to get better as the fight goes. But you know, I don't necessarily know if Diaz has been fighting his whole life, you know, taking 2 years off or whatever, that ain't gonna make no difference. The man's like 34, 30, you know, he's in his 30s now. So, you know, 2 years is really nothing when you compare it to that. And you've been fighting your entire life. So I don't necessarily know if it'd be cage rust.
Hey man, listen, I'm really looking forward to your fight this weekend with RDA. Styles make fights. It's really got the making of a great fight. And your last fight with Al, let me just tell you, Kevin, as just guy to guy, that was a great fight because of you also. And not only that, the lead up, everything. Keep doing you, man. People are like, oh, don't sing when you come to the cage. Dude, I fucking love it. And I'm on the other side of the cage. I loved, Al might have hated it. But that's part of the reason why it made it more fun, too, because you guys are polar opposites. Dude, keep doing you, man. I enjoy watching you fight, and I enjoy you as a character, dude. I like it.
I got you, man. I got you. You know, that's all I can do. So, look, I wouldn't have it no other way. And same here. Great job in the corner. I'll give you that.
All right, man.
All right, take care, man. Good talking to you, Kevin. And good luck this Saturday. Enjoy sunny Rochester.
Take care, man.
Yeah, I don't know about all that.
All right, be good, man.
Take care. All right, man.
I love talking to him. He's a really good guy to interview.
I like
sounds
him a
like,
lot.
Sounds
man.
Like he's got his head.
He does. Yeah, he's a really smart guy. Yeah. And
That's what made that fight so much fun, because they're so opposite. But you know, Kevin does come to fight.
Yes.
And that was such a great fight. Yeah. But it was the style. And just like when he fought Mike Chiesa, and he fought some other guys. He's a character.
Yep.
But he doesn't. But he's backing it up. He's fighting. You know what I mean? So I like it. I like guys with different characters, man. I like when they mix.
Like when Chip and different characters.
I'm gonna miss you, Chip.
Not you're gonna miss Chip.
Of course.
Fuck, take Chip with you, please. Can you take Chip? Hey, but no, go ahead, Jimmy.
Oh, sorry, buddy. I was saying we got Jared Cannon here shortly. Yeah.
Oh,
we should do the next fight, which is Oliveira Nick Lentz.
Well, actually, you know what? We are a couple of minutes late on.
Let's just talk to Charles. The picture not as big a deal. Come on.
Okay. All right. Dude.
Let's just talk to Charles. Jared, I'm thinking Charles over. Let's talk to Jared Cannon.
Yeah, let's get him on the phone.
Jared Cannon.
The picks are a fun aside. They're not more important than the fighters.
Did you like that fight, Longo? Jared Cannon.
That was nice. Yeah, he was going to win that fight.
I thought so too. Yeah. It's hard to pick against Anderson because you know it's like you like a guy so much and loyalty, but Jared Cannon has just looked great.
Yeah, Longo doesn't like anybody.
No, I know he doesn't. That's why I like Longo. we have Jared on the phone. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good.
Good. You're talking to Jim Norton and Matt Serra and Ray Longo on UFC Unfiltered.
What's up, Jared?
What's up, buddy?
Awesome. What's going on, guys? It's an honor to be on the show, man, and well, I've seen you guys before, but it's an honor to speak with you more in a more informal or personal, I guess.
Ah, man, that's nice. Yeah.
Well, yeah, have we had you on before? No, this is the first time, I think, right?
Yeah, this is the first time.
And, well, congratulations. I mean, you know, even though Anderson, do you know exactly what was Anderson's leg injury? I mean, it was certainly due to you, but do you know exactly what it was?
If I were to put a name on what it is?
Yeah, like what, did he pull something, or is he, what exactly happened? Oh.
What I believe was what happened was when I kicked him, that may have caused a sprain of the ligaments. Well, so that's what I had actually posted something on my Instagram. Somebody came out. I heard that they had gotten MRI results back, so there's nothing torn in his knee, and I believe that when the kick came, it came at such a velocity at an angle that it moved that femur. You know, out of the knee socket, and that may have sprained or strained some ligaments in there.
Now, Jared, I think it was just a matter of time till you were gonna get your hands on, you know, probably knock him out or hurt him bad. Were you feeling that fight was going in that direction for you? If you were getting your timing down, you were getting closer to him.
That's exactly what I was thinking, and that's exactly what we had planned to do as well. He moves around a lot, so use kicks, go to the body more. He just he judges his opponents based on how they strike at his head mostly.
Right.
That's
right.
What most guys do. So it's easy to get someone's timing if you know what they're attacking. And it's been easy for him to avoid those strikes on most people. So I wasn't going to fall into the same situation as most of his other opponents, though. You know, me and the coaches came up with a good game plan. We're going to work the legs first. You know, if anything, that should settle him down because you can't defend kicks moving away.
Right.
So, so he would have had to have settled down. And then at that time, we were going to run the hand.
Yeah, it looked like it was just a matter of time to me when I was watching the fight. But great job, and you're surrounded by great coaches too. You're with Crouch, right? Am I correct with that?
Or yeah.
Crouch and Henderson Benson.
Yeah, right.
Great guys. Awesome.
Definitely, yes. I like them a lot.
And you fought. You're 5-4 so far with the in the octagon. But you've been in three different weight classes, which is kind of a short period of time to jump around so much. What is it that's kind of had you going from heavyweight, light heavyweight to middleweight? Are you just feeling more and more comfortable going down, or what's been motivating the weight changes?
Well, it's just mostly the training situation changed. Mostly that created the weight thing. So when I first moved down to light heavyweight, I was still living in Alaska. But that was something I had to do. Like I had to do like extra work on the outside because I was still working a full time job. So that required a little bit more sacrifice than what the drop to middleweight did. But when I moved to Arizona, you know, they have a more consistent training regimen there. It's definitely catered to professional fighters, and it's all under one roof, which is really big for me. So just the consistent work. You know, working hard, having to work harder on a more consistent basis because these guys are killers in there.
Sweet. Sorry, but I mean, you were in Alaska before Arizona?
Yeah, I was living in Alaska.
What a temperature switch. What were you doing in Alaska? How did you wind up there?
Well, I was in the Army. You know, I joined the Army when I was like 22. And that's when I got my first taste of grappling. I did the combatives program in there. And then after I had gotten out, I had moved to Alaska and gotten a job with the FAA working on air traffic control equipment, same thing I did in the Army. And I had fought and I trained and fought for like 8 years up there. And then that's when I, you know, I got in the UFC in 2015 and had a few fights and got a new contract. And that's when I had quit my job and moved to Arizona. That was 2 years ago.
So now you were building or repairing stuff that air traffic control uses. What kind of stuff, like radar, or what were you doing? I don't think you've ever talked to anyone who did that for a living.
Yeah, well, in the Army, you know, we had worked on radars. They had a whole bunch of stuff in Army, beacons, radios, and the same thing in the FAA. It was essentially the exact same thing. We used radios. I specifically maintained a satellite telecommunication system, which is similar to what cable companies use to get their signals up to satellites in orbit. They shoot it back down to people's televisions and homes. So I maintained a system that did that exact same thing.
Okay, so we have to ask
you
now.
Alaska.
Since you deal with radar in the military, all right, have you any UFO activity? Let's just get it out here.
I haven't seen any, but I'm not, but I'm sure there's something out there.
Okay, because a lot of times you hear military guys or pilots come out with it, and I'm like, all right, well, maybe he's seen something in Alaska. What a switch. How long were you in Alaska? Oh, you said 8 years. And did you grow to like it, or did you hate it the whole time? It seems like a very desolate place to live.
Well, I liked it half of the year, and I hated it the other half. When it was snowy and dark, I hated it, you know? And the summertime is just make it so much better. You know, everybody's outside all the time. You can go fishing, and the weather is perfect. It's like 80s, low 90s.
Oh, wow.
You know? So when it's sunny out, but then it rains, and then people start bitching again as if it's, you know, 10 feet of snow outside.
Hey, Jared, let me tell you, I really felt for you this weekend. I was happy for you when you won. And I know what it's like in the middle of that octagon when people are either cheering or when they're booing. And it's I don't think the television does it justice. If you go home and watch it, it's not going to do it justice from what it's deafening. When you're in there, you can't even hear anything.
Right.
So that's what I don't think people get when they see you standing there. I thought you handled yourself like a gentleman. And, it has to be, I mean, listen, Raging Al started flipping it back in the day, started being like, you're booing. Because, you know, when you fight your heart out, they don't know what it's like to be, even be in there. And then when you mm-hmm. put it all on the line and then it goes your way and then they're booing you and you're like, wait a minute, I'm showing respect to my opponent. And then they get louder because they don't want to hear you. What was going through your head right there?
Well, I kind of egged it on, you know, because after the fight, a few of them are booing, right? And so those are the ones who I cut my ear to, you know? And then everybody else joined in when they saw that. So, and I completely understood what had happened at that point, because as soon as they all joined in, I'm like, yep, here we go.
Yeah.
And so, and then, to be honest, I started to get caught up in it a little bit. You know, I went to the middle of the octagon and raised my hands, and but, you know, I got back control of myself and brought it back down. And I completely understand how they feel, you know what I'm saying? And I understand that Brazilian fans are really passionate about their athletes and about their role models and stuff. And it's definitely not my intent to kill anyone's aspirations to be great. So I understand where they were coming from. And, you know, and to be honest, it kind of made the moment, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Everybody's talking about it. And,
that's the way I look
at it. A lot
of
people liked it. You know, a lot of people didn't like it. But in my, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that's all energy. And, you know, I like playing with energy. So nobody got hurt. And that's the important thing.
Well, this is huge for you. I mean, it's huge. So who's next? Who do you have? Who do you want next?
I want whoever. You know what I'm saying? If I were to choose someone, I would definitely say give me the title shot next.
Yeah,
but you know, that's already that spot's already been taken for now. So you know, whoever gets him closest to the title, or whoever, you know what I'm saying. I don't like training for, I don't like planning for specific people. You know, I only plan to be the best me. You know what I'm saying. I'm trying to get better and better, not based on who I'm fighting or who's in the division or anything like that. So I don't really think about who could be next until they give me a call.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm looking at the names, you know, ahead of you here in the rankings, and every one of them just sounds exciting. I could put you with any one of these guys, and you got my money, Jimmy, you know?
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate it. I can't wait till I get a belt. Then I can really have that money.
Yeah.
And also, hey, by the way, did you ever get your stuff? Because a lot of your equipment didn't make it because of United, and you were not happy about that, but I could really empathize with that. Did it finally come?
Yeah, those bags did finally come in.
How late?
I think it was like the day before. I think it was the day before we. I think it came in Thursday night.
Oh, well, at least it got there.
Yeah, yeah. That frustrated me for you.
It's all good. I mean, I may do. I dry some clothes out and reuse them, and it's all good. I've lived in worse conditions.
Yeah, you're in Alaska for 8 years, so I guess he's losing your luggage and Rios. All right, listen, man, we good luck with whoever you fight next. That was a very, very impressive win. And, you know, you're 2-0 as a middleweight, and you're a very, very dangerous fighter. So I think whoever fights you has their hands full. I mean, I'm not really saying anything interesting there, but you know that that's the truth.
Yeah.
And whoever they put in front of you has a fight on their hands. So good luck, Jared, okay?
Congrats, Jared.
Thank you very
congrats,
much.
Man. Enjoy. Tell everybody we said hello.
I will. Thank you, guys.
All right. We'll talk to you again, okay, buddy?
All right.
Bye.
Nice dude, man.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. And whoever he fights, I mean, he is a hard hitter, man.
Oh, this is the end of an era. Man,
yes, Charles Oliveira, Nick Lentz. What have they both done their last fights?
Yeah, and that's a rematch, those two guys. Nick Lentz is coming off of he's on a 2-fight win streak. He knocked out Gray Maynard, and he's coming off a decision over Scott Holtzman in his most recent fight. And Charles Oliveira, I believe, is on like a 3 or 4 fight win streak. Let me see. He's got 4 in a row. Yeah, he's coming off of a submission anaconda choke over David Tamor. But he's got 4 submission wins in a row, a 4-fight win streak.
Okay. And what was Nick Lentz's last two? Sorry, Chris.
Lentz is on a 2-fight win streak, knocked out Gray Maynard, and coming off a unanimous decision over Scott Holtzman. And again, this is a rematch.
Who won the first one?
The first one was a no contest because of an illegal knee.
Thrown by...
It was a submission. It was thrown by Oliveira, so it was overturned.
All right, I'm going to take Oliveira.
Second round sub
by decision. Matt's just saying, "What are you holding in your hand there?"
My dick.
Oh, okay. How'd you blow smoke out of it?
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
You said decision, Jimmy.
Yep.
Matt, you're saying second round submission.
Second round submission
for Oliveira. I think I'm going to go. I'm doing third round submission for Oliveira.
Woo! All right, watch your step now. What about? Hi, Longo. Hello, Longo.
Who are you taking?
Yeah. What do you got to say, Longo? Good.
About what?
About the oh my. Oh,
who do you pick?
We're picking fights. The guy's in La La Land.
I got to tell you, I think Lentz is hard to submit. I don't know this one.
All right. Next fight. Just get. Oh, you still you're done?
Move on to the next one, Chris.
No, seriously.
No, I don't know.
Wow. Way to be on the fence.
All right, let's go. Rami, Dami Ramos against Austin. Davi Ramos, sorry.
Dami Hamosh.
Wow, was I wrong? That's all right. Davi Hamosh?
Hamosh.
That S-H, is it Hamosh? Where's he from?
He's Brazilian.
Hamosh.
Hamosh.
The R's are H.
Where's the H?
Bless you.
It's just how it's pronounced.
They call me Matt Seha.
Or Hamos.
Davi Hamos.
They call me Matt Seha.
That's right. Yeah, Anderson called you Seha. Versus Austin Hubbard. Austin Hubbard is making his UFC debut. He's 10-2, and he's actually an Elevation fight team guy. Fights with Neil Magny and the crew over there.
And what is his last couple of fights as opposed to Hamos's last couple of fights?
Austin is on a 3-fight win streak, obviously outside of the UFC, but he's got 2 straight in the LFA. So a unanimous decision win and a 5th round, like 15 seconds left, knockout in his last fight.
The pitcher makes him so mysterious.
Yeah.
Yes.
And how about Hamos?
Hamos is on a 3-fight winning streak, all in the UFC. Rear naked choke over Chris Grootsmacher. He has a rear naked choke over Nick Hein and a rear naked choke over John Gunther in his last fight.
Submission. Wait. And Austin's last fight was what?
What did he do?
5th round knockout?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, I'm going with L. Rod Hubbard.
I'll take. wow.
There you go.
Staggering.
You go.
I'll take. I think I'm going to take Hubbard 2 by a 2nd round TKO.
Wow. Okay.
Actually, you know what decision?
You going with the Hubbard, huh? Ooh. You going with the Hubbard?
Yep.
Oh, I'm going to go. I'm going with Davi Hamos.
Okay.
All right, by submission, 2nd round.
Second round
submission. Yeah, that's what I say.
Very good. And I'm going to go. I'm also going with second round submission for Dummy.
You almost said submission.
Submission.
All right.
That's it, boys.
Chris. Oh, come on, Chris. This is it.
Yeah, I mean,
Jimmy's look, cold as ice.
No, I'm going to miss.
What is through your veins right now, Night King?
I'm going to miss.
Fucking Jimmy.
I'm going to miss Chris very much.
But
if you grieve too long, you wallow in it. Listen, Chris, thanks for the run.
No, Chris, I happen to know that these guys are putting something big together for you, like a nice check for all your services.
Oh, that's great. That kind of softens the blow. That's nice.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Isn't that nice of them?
Yeah.
The best joke you told all fucking... Yeah, we're doing a check for them. Yeah, real check. Yeah, there's a check coming. All right, listen, but seriously,
Chris,
though,
good luck to you and Molly. I know she's your wife's pregnant. Unless you haven't said that publicly.
Yeah, no, that's totally fine. Thank you very much.
I hope everything is okay.
I appreciate it, man.
Thanks, I can't wait to meet little Matthew and...
Yeah.
When he comes out. He might name the kid after me.
Not if it's a girl.
If it's a Mattea, he said something like that. Maybe not. Listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
Longo, you got anything to promote?
As
you eat the rest of the fuck. All right.
I'll be in Rochester this Friday and Saturday.
Wow. Very nice.
Oh, why are you saying that? Did you have anything to promote?
No,
MMA and Beyond.
I'm listening to Jimmy. Oh, know, MMA and Beyond.
The Anna
Glory
prodding.
Podcast.
He needs a little prodding.
Lore MMA. And, what else? Right?
I talked over it.
Sarah Longo?
Sarah Longo fight team. Come on, man. Those guys bring it, huh?
They do bring it.
I mean, that's a tough one.
That was fun at Eddie's the other night.
Eddie's
delicious. They have gluten free pizza, by the way, Jimmy, at Eddie's. I know.
Man, Jimmy, I feel. No, I really. I'm
look at
you.
His face. That's his face at the end of every episode.
You know, I'm not,
he has enough.
I'm not saying this to be mean, but you've aged in the last couple of years.
You know what it is? I feel like the look I have is. Do you ever see the face of soldiers when they're in Vietnam and they're waiting for the helicopter?
And it's not coming.
No, exactly. Exactly. They hear the faint rotor blade somewhere.
So all right, goodbye.
But hold on, Chris, we love you. Thank you, man.
I
and
love you guys too.
You're
you
really
much.
A great producer and a great on air guy, too. I loved you on the air, and you really are a very solid guy, and you know more about UFC than all of us. So,
till we meet again.
Thank you
for everything.
Thank you so much.
Till we meet again, Chris, the producer.
Best of luck.
But I look forward to seeing who we're going to meet next, and you know, I'm sure it'll be good.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, Chris. All right, now remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, radio.com/UFC Unfiltered, or wherever you get your shows. Not my business.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.